We are live and in color. The champ is here. The champ is here. Yes, 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 yes. Yes, welcome to Intimate Discoveries, a podcast redefining the dialogue of intimacy and connection in modern relationships. In a world flooded with data interaction and purpose of engagement, we dive deep, uncovering insights and understanding of what it truly means to be intimate. Each episode delves into the heart of intimacy, dismantling myths, and unveiling truths about the complex dynamics of relationships. Through engaging discussions and real relationship experts, heartfelt stories, and groundbreaking insights, we challenge and expand what you thought you knew about closeness and commitment. Whether you're navigating a rocky path of a struggling relationship, contemplating the complexities of divorce, or seeking to strengthen the bonds of your marriage. Let's go! Yep! Yes, 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 yes. Ladies and gentlemen, we are live and in color. And I tell you, today is going to be one of those days where we have a dynamic show tonight. We are already flooded with five people on board. And I'm telling you, I got one of my amazing friends who are coming on today to bring it. Oh my gosh, she can introduce herself, but this is Coach Teresa, and she is ready. Without further ado, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to bring you on. Come on, lady. Talk to me.
Hey, hey, hey. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you. I can hear you. Give me a clap. Absolutely.
Thank you. Thank you.
Yes, talk to me. How's it going?
It's going well. I've been in my fields all day anticipating this interview since it's my first one. But hey, we're going in. Let's do it.
We're going in. Oh my gosh. And so give us a little bit about you, Teresa. Coach T. Let's hear about you. What's going on? Talk to me. Oh, somebody going in.
You hear me?
City, I can hear you now. Go ahead.
I have children.
Uh-oh. Did you go in the meeting?
I don't know why you can't hear me.
Okay, I can hear you now. Go ahead.
Are you able to hear me?
I'm able to hear you loud and clear now.
Okay.
Hold on, Coach T. We hear you, but you're going into the matrix. So go out and come back in. Let's see, maybe that. Go out and come back in. I'm not sure what's happening with your connection, but you're going in and out. Hello? Who else do we have? Well, we got, who is this here? Into the live show. Oh my gosh, who is this here? Let me see. We got coming on board. Invite. Let me see who else is on here. I just invited another guest to come on over here. Can't join. Maybe call. Teresa, are you there?
I am. Can you hear me?
I can hear you a whole lot better. Now, would you call me through your computer, your phone, or what happened?
I'm actually on the phone. I don't know what's happening.
Okay, but you are good to go now. I hear you loud and clear.
Okay.
With Intimate Discoveries, Unveiling Connections, we are the podcast that's redefining the conversation around what it means to be intimate. So here we are. We have this this conversation around how is it that we're missing this concept of being intimate, right? And so I want to kind of get some, where are you in relationships, or how are you been navigating the love life, relationship life? And so I want to get what's up?
So at present, I'm a single woman. However, not really dating, because I don't know if I have a bar that may be high for some, or okay. It's a defense, or if it's a defense mechanism for me at present.
Okay.
So
when you say it might be a defense mechanism, so let me give you a little bit about Champ Franklin, right? So for me, I believe that the truth is inside the disclaimer, right?
Mm-hmm. So yes,
do you understand what I mean by that?
Yes, you're basically saying I'm speaking my truth.
No, I'm not saying. So, I'm not saying that you're speaking your truth. What I'm saying to you is that, you know, it's like, for example, let's say somebody comes and say, "Hey, I'm sorry, I don't mean to interrupt," right? When they say yes. That, like, you walked all the way down here, and you mean to tell me that you did not mean to interrupt? No, the truth is you meant to interrupt. That's why you walked down here and said something. Well, I don't mean to mm-hmm. reach around. No, you do mean to reach around me. That's why you're reaching in front of me right now. So when you say maybe it's, I don't know if it's my defense or anything, that's looking at, that might be a little bit of truth. So what are you trying to defend? And as this, as men or people are approaching you in this era?
Honestly, I'll say I don't even sit still. I'm gonna say sit still long enough for someone to approach me sometimes. And the way I move when I'm out, I don't believe I give off the vibe that I'm open to anyone at the moment. I get compliments, you know, all that as a female. Mm-hmm. Even I'll have conversation, but I will immediately begin to start looking at you like, okay, what is it that you want? You know, because I don't like to have a whole lot of jibber jabber in between. Like, say what you're here for, because I'm very direct. I'm very direct. I'm very honest. And I will tell you exactly what is on my mind. However, I'm getting better with my filter the older I get. So sometimes I don't know if I'm even as approachable as one may be. However, once I get in a room with people, I'm having conversation. I'm able to carry a conversation, and people still may be attracted or want to date or whatever. However, I am not 100% open to dating, just simply due to things that I have encountered in my life. And because it took a tremendous amount of effort for me to go through the healing process to even get where I am and be healthy within myself, I don't want to carry nobody's baggage on no day of the week right now. So that's exactly where I am.
Right. This is a really good conversation, because I think I'm going to help you. When you get ready to explore the opportunity to be engaged in another new relationships. So first of all, what's your, I ask you, what's your definition of intimacy?
For me, overall, it's you creating a space and providing an opportunity to just be open and be able to build with someone, no matter what that relationship is, honestly, because there are intimate relationships everywhere in everything we do. So it's really about the creating the space and the providing the opportunity to be open. And some days I know I'm not very open. In the dating space, I'll say I'm not very open, but I'm open to relationship with people.
Okay. Well, good. So on intimate discoveries. So let me give you a little bit about me, right? I was married for 22 years. After 20 years or so, she decided that she didn't want to be married anymore, decided that she was going to have an affair and do all her stuff. And so at the same time, I started studying intimacy. I started studying as a clinical sexuality coach. That's why I have my certification as a clinical sexuality coach and master sex expert. And so what prompted me to start studying was that she was a licensed marriage and family therapist. And we had a retreat center in Blue Ridge, Georgia, where couples would come up and she would host these couple retreats. And so then every now and again, she would ask me to be involved and I would engage. And I was like, you know, I want to learn more, right? Because I don't want to just be winging it at the thing, just giving a male perspective. I want to have some knowledge and information. And so during my studies, she sent me this book called She Comes First, and it was about fellatio. And as I'm reading the book and stuff, I discovered that I was actually hurting my wife, right? And I was like, oh my gosh, you know, because, you know, it talks about, you know, make sure because it's talking about, you know, fellatio, make sure you got your beard. If you're going to have a beard, make sure your beard is clean, because if it is well groomed, because if it's not groomed, you're going to be rubbing on some thighs or causing some friction, and you want this to be a pleasurable experience.
And I'm like, oh, please and thank you.
Right. Absolutely. You want to make sure that is pleasing. And you want to make sure that your nails are groomed, that your nails and stuff are taken, because you're going to take your hands down there. You want to make sure that it is good to go. And so I'm like, oh, my gosh, I was actually hurting. I'm like, oh, my gosh. And then I was also reading this book. I was listening to this book, The Women's Anatomy of Arousal. And the lady was talking about low, medium, and high level of arousal. And then she's like, listen. Don't you ever into a woman unless she's highly aroused, because it hurts. And I was like, oh my gosh, I cannot. I remember the times in which she would say, just get to KY, just get to KY. I like, let me just put the head in, let me do this. And I was like, oh, being married over 20 years, I just say, you know, I started doing the numbers and I started answering the hard question. Because what was happening was her affair bled over into my house, and the guy was coming to my house. And I'm like, how the heck does she think I deserve to see all this stuff and be in this situation? And so as I'm studying, I'm answering the hard questions. And I said, okay, well, if I just ask to put the head in twice a month, or if my nails were dirty, or I didn't groom myself or whatever, if I did it just twice a month, that was 480 times that happened during our marriage. And I was like, oh my gosh. Then I explained. And so now I get to this place where I'm studying more, and this affair is going on. So I'm really learning a lot. And then I come across this definition about intimacy. And the definition of intimacy that I found was that intimacy is the level of commitment, positive, affective, cognitive, and physical closeness that one experiences with a partner in a reciprocal relationship. I'll say it again. Intimacy is defined as the level of commitment, positive, affective, cognitive, and physical closeness that one experiences with a partner in a reciprocal relationship. And growing up in the drug house, and being on from the west side of Chicago, I understood that reciprocity. When someone is making an exchange, that you make sure you exchange. You know, if I'm giving you $20, you better have $20 worth of heroin, weed, cocaine, whatever. And if you don't have the $20 worth, I'm coming to talk to you, right?
Absolutely.
And so seeing that I had violated, because I didn't have a safe space in the relationship. And then let me go a little bit more. Then, so there are four variations of intimacy, right? There's cognitive intimacy, which is just sharing thoughts. And then there's emotional intimacy, which is exchanging feelings, which is deeply rooted in self-disclosure. Then there's sexual intimacy, which is being attracted to a person and choosing to share one's body in the form of affection and sexual activities and stuff like that, right? And then there's spiritual intimacy, which is exchanging thoughts about religion and morality and stuff like that, right? So those are the four variations of intimacy, right? And so then in that, I found that I started studying Maslow's hierarchy of needs, and I aligned cognitive intimacy, emotional intimacy, and sexual intimacy along with Maslow's hierarchy of needs. And I saw that the biggest area that's neglected in our relationship is the emotional intimacy, right? Because most men are not given permission to feel. Like I said, I shared a little bit. I grew up in a drug house. My dad was shot when I was in sixth grade. I moved in with him as a seventh grade, and he decided that he wants to sell drugs as a quadriplegic. Because he wants to take it. Right. So here I am in seventh grade, bagging up dope, feeding him heroin, feeding him cocaine, pushing it through the dope, doing runs, bathing him, feeding him, shaving him, doing whatever. And whenever he got constipated, guess what? I went up there and I pulled it out too, right? I had to do, right? At the same time, and I'm like, oh my gosh, I still had school, right? Still had stuff I wanted to do. So it was kind of interesting. But the point of it is nobody cared about my feelings. Nobody cared about how I felt. I didn't go to therapy when my dad got shot. I didn't get to go to therapy when a guy came in and robbed us at gunpoint, shot my uncle. I didn't get therapy and all that other stuff, right? So I go into the, so up to that point, me getting married, I had no therapy. I hadn't gotten permission to feel. I went into the military right out of high school. And in the military, if we want you to have feelings, we to put it in your sea bag. So there were no feelings in my sea bag. Somebody didn't care about that, right? So here I am married with trauma and not understanding that I am required to have a safe space, right? And I got two daughters. And here I am realizing that she didn't have a safe space. And I didn't have a place. But by the time I get all this stuff together, she's already checked out. She's already done. And so now what I try to do now is I sound the alarm so that men and women can be able to understand the importance of vulnerability. Right?
Yes.
So based on what I've just shared, how does that play into your understanding or how you see intimacy now, or what your recent feedback or what you think about what I've just shared with you?
Well, first of all, thank you for sharing all that, because it takes a certain level of vulnerability for you to even be able to share with whoever may be on this show. So thank you for leading the way for other people who may not be so comfortable doing that. However, like you, over the past few years, I have really been putting a lot of effort into becoming more vulnerable, becoming more open, and creating.
Hello? Teresa. I don't know what happened to you. There you go.
Hello?
You're back in. I'm here. Let me explain something to you right now. Hold on. Let me say something real quick, right? I want you to know that I'm in the right space right now on this podcast, right? Because I'm in the right space, right time, this moment, there are forces that I believe that are trying to prevent me from helping men, helping women, helping couples. And so we have these interference and stuff like that. So I think that's part of the show, that's part for the course, because like I said, I go through, like, say, you and I, we were on the phone yesterday doing a mic check. Everything good? And we're like, oh my god, why is something happening right now when we just went through a mic check? So go ahead, I'm listening to you now. Go ahead.
So honestly, I've been walking through some of those things. I may not have been doing as deep of a study as you've been doing, because you seem to have been pinpointed on the things that you have actually been exploring. However, because I've been exploring me more and the way I react to other people, and checking myself, honestly, because I wasn't vulnerable, because I wasn't as open, because life was embarrassing at some points in time. So I'm sure if I wasn't open to share everything, I probably was not creating a space for other people to share either, because I had a one way of looking at things. So over the past few years, because I have gotten my coaching certification and I am sitting with people just like you're sitting with me and having conversations about being vulnerable, about being able to be safe, and about being able to share with someone who may be a stranger or someone who may not be, and being able to say what you need without feeling there's going to be pushback, and be okay with being who you are, because authenticity is real for me at this moment. All the things you're saying, I know they're things, but it seems that we have to walk through them one at a time. And a big thing for me is the exchange of thoughts. Because if I can't understand you, you and I probably can't, we're not going to be able to link the way that I need for us to, because I need that understanding and I need to know that you understand me as well. And because that's an area where it seems like people get it wrong most of the time, because we're trying to be heard and not trying to make sure that we're understanding, we go left a lot. Or we're holding things in that we have not worked through that keeps us from even wanting to share thoughts. So that's been a real big piece for me, because commitment, I'm your ride or die chick, period, on all the days of the week. Like, that's just me. And bottom line.
And that's good, because when we look at, again, are you familiar with Maslow's hierarchy of needs?
I am familiar with it, but I have not really looked deep into it. But I am familiar with it.
Okay, perfect. So let's go over Maslow's hierarchy of needs. So at the very bottom of Maslow's hierarchy of needs is the physiological needs: food, water, shelter, and warmth, right? And so this is where most men are programmed to perfect.
Being a provider,
right? Not realizing that, and this is what I had to realize, that there's more to me than just being a provider, right? Because I was locked in, the kids had everything that they needed, you name it, I was there for them, and protection. I'm a little bit on this protection side, because my thing was that a brave man, he who runs live to tell a story. And then the second is a brave person makes the best example, right? So I wasn't staying there to be an example. So I'm like, listen guys, don't sit up there and be talking to somebody and causing these ruckus or whatever, is that we gotta fight, because I ain't trying to fight nobody, because I've seen little guys, and like I'm 5'5", I'm right now I'm like 160, and so for me, I've seen little guys get really toe up, and I don't know guys. So I'm like, hey, listen, can we talk ourselves out of this? Let's go home. Don't be causing all ruckus or whatever. And so that was my approach. So I kind of worked a little bit when it came to this, that protection side. But when it came to providing, I was locked in, good to go. And so after the provider, food, water, shelter, warmth, then the next need is the safety need, right? Then the next need is after the safety need is done, then there's the feeling of loving and belonging, where we all desire to have a sense of loving and belonging. And when this loving and belonging need is not met for so long, it often ends in drug abuse, alcoholism, and then being around different individuals, all because you're trying to feel a sense of loving and belonging. And then there is the esteem need, which you feel good. Once you have food, water, shelter, safety, and the feeling of loving and belonging, you begin to feel good about yourself. This is that esteem need, right? And then after the esteem need is a self-actualization, where you begin to come to yourself, where you can self-actualize and you can begin to do creative things. You begin to pursue different avenues or whatever, and become creative, right? And so in those levels, right, I align cognitive intimacy with the physiological and the safety need, right? Because that's where the exchange of the thoughts happen, right?
Mm-hmm.
Then I have emotional intimacy, where the feeling of loving and belonging. And then right above that is the sexual intimacy, right? Whereas at the self-actualization, right, where you have the creative activities, right? And so the problem that we have is that we often neglect this safety need, and therefore we don't have a feeling of loving and belonging. And therefore, when it comes to us fulfilling this sexual desire, this sexual need, we end up skipping. We end up having to jump over or give someone a bypass. Because there is no emotional connection, we as men have limited emotional vocabulary. So when it comes to feeling inadequate or feeling sad or sleepy or insecure or whatever, we couldn't say those things, and therefore we can't connect when our partner is coming to us and they're explaining to us that they're feeling apathetic or... Mm-hmm. Crushed, right? You couldn't tell anybody you feel crushed. No, you could not do that. And so as a result, we have these inconsistent sexual experiences because there is no emotional, watch this, connection. Because I know for me, and I guess I often use me, I know that when it came to that emotional connection with my children, it came to emotional connection with my wife sometimes. The operator would say, sir, I'm sorry, that call does not go through. You need to connect on a different, you need to go in and charge that emotional circuit for you to have, actually make that connection. And so, and that's where we have this dialogue to make sure that we understand that intimacy is a level of commitment. And you have to be committed to providing a safe space for your partner and recognizing mm-hmm. that you too are entitled to a safe space. And then here is the key, right? Reciprocity is non-negotiable, mm-hmm. right? Correct. And so when you're sharing, right, and that person doesn't reciprocate, right? Then we got to go back and look and see how are we're not in an intimate relationship because you're not reciprocating. And the other thing is that I can't share with you. I can't be vulnerable with you. And I use on my website, I say intimacy. Vulnerability is the birthplace for intimate relationships, right? And so because I couldn't be vulnerable with my wife, I couldn't share with her how I felt because she grew up in Montgomery County, Maryland. So there was a little bit of bouginess on her, which is I appreciated and all other stuff. But the thing is that me growing up on the west side of Chicago, she often thought that some things I was doing were ghetto, right? Or of a poverty mentality, because I didn't think my kids need to go to summer camp for a whole week when I ain't go to summer camp. They ain't gotta go to summer camp.
Understood.
Huh?
I said, understood. I'm tracking.
That because I couldn't share those thoughts, there were other things I didn't share either. And because I didn't mm-hmm. share those things, it ended up hindering our relationship now. So we say again, if I couldn't share twice a month, that was 480 times that I didn't share, or 480 times that I gave misleading or lying statements in my marriage, right? Just twice a month.
Yes.
Right? And so talk to me now that you have this understanding that intimacy is a level of commitment and that you require vulnerability. How does that now shape the way you perceive a relationship?
Honestly, it's not reshaping or changing like my outlook at this mm-hmm. present time. It's just that you're coming from a different angle than I, you know, because of what you're studying and the way, you know, life has transpired for you at the moment. However, because I was a 13-year-old mother, all I've known is to commit to others and sacrifice. So you know, my growing up was a little different than somebody else that didn't have kids until they were 20. So I was married by the time I was 20. Right. I was a single mom by the time I was 25 because my children's dad went to prison. So life shaped up a little different for me in the earlier stages of my life. So all I ever knew was family, commitment, you know, sacrifice, loving till there was no more love to give, period. So now, because I was never the one who was allowed to be safe mm-hmm. in someone else's care a lot mm-hmm. of the time, because I was pretty much, you know, talked down on because of having my child at an early age. Mm-hmm. I was not able to carry myself in a way where I felt like I could just give all of me to people. However, I think my intimate relationships were a little bit different because I was in a 14-year relationship with my children's dad, married for seven of them. So I won't even say I felt completely safe there because he sold dope. Right. And at the end of the day, because of that reason, there was a level of not feeling protected, you know, mm-hmm. not that I didn't feel like I belonged, not that the family didn't love me, not any of those things, but that safety and security was an issue for me because I don't know if the social service is going to come and pick up my kids or if, you know, I might go to jail today. I don't know. I didn't worry about it enough to walk away.
Right.
However, I was young, you know, I was 20, I was a 13-year-old mom. So me growing over time has put me in the place where I view things different because I started so early. Mm-hmm. And there was a time when I went, because I've only had four boyfriends in my whole life, and I'm someone of longevity. If you walk up on me and you think that we're going to play for two or three or four months, or you just out here because you want a 6 month, like, I ain't your girl. So keep it moving. I don't even want to waste my time on you. So if you're not in it to win it, we ain't in it, period. So there was a point in time where I did not feel the love and belonging portion because it seemed like people were so easy to walk away whenever things got tough. Mm-hmm. So because I wasn't built that way, I couldn't understand it. And it made me pull back from people.
Absolutely. So let me interject right there. That's why it's important that we see that we understand Maslow's hierarchy of needs. It's because, like you were saying, that you had money because you were selling dope and he was selling dope, so you had money was not a problem, right?
No, not at all. And I worked, so yes, we were fine.
So you were good. So it was that safety need, right? That was kind of shaky, mm-hmm. right? And because this safety need was inconsistent, right? And it wasn't secure, right? It was difficult for you to experience a sense of loving and belonging,
mm-hmm.
right? And that's what we're talking about, right? Is that you cannot skip this safety need. You cannot skip this part about being vulnerable. And if you can't be vulnerable and your partner can't be vulnerable, then guess what? Nobody is going to sense a feeling of loving and belonging. And when you do not feel a sense of loving and belonging, what do you typically do, Coach G?
Well, you'll find out if you need to, whatever an out looks like for you.
Do that, right? You're going to find somebody who can provide that safety need, right? And that's how oftentimes affairs happen, because the physiological food, water, shelter, that's already taken care of. Now that next need is the need to feel safe.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why it's important for us to provide that safety need for each other. And that when you're sharing with somebody, you're sharing with your partner, you're sharing with somebody, you are entitled to a safe space where what you're about to share is not, there is no reprisal, there's no retribution, it's not going to get against you, right?
Correct.
And that's the commitment that we have to start looking for. Are you committed to providing this safe space for me?
Mm-hmm.
And what's your level of commitment? Go ahead.
Yeah. And I'll just speak for me specifically, because like I said in the beginning, I am that one who is committed to that process. Like, whatever that looks like. Not saying that I'm perfect in it, because I know I'm not. However, I am willing to walk every layer with you, and even give you an opportunity, even if I see that you're not in the place, to be so safe at that moment, because I don't know what put you in a place where you're not safe. And maybe it takes us working together for you to feel like you want to be safe. So sometimes I have the mindset of, maybe this person hasn't had this opportunity to be safe. Maybe I am that safe space for them at this moment. But because it took years for this person to get there, I can't expect for them to turn it off at night. That's where my grace giving comes in, which is where I think it probably has burnt me before. But on the other side of it, because we do need all these things, but they don't all come at one time, because we're all in different stages of our life. Like, I'm not going to be so blind to think that this person is going to be perfect with the Maslow's hierarchy of needs. They're just not going to be, because something took place in your life for you not to be here. And just as you said earlier about men not being able to feel or not being able to express their feelings, I already know walking in over just due to experience that they're going to walk in with some of this in their pocket, period.
Right. Absolutely.
And so I am going to give opportunity for this guy to be able to shift, and whatever that looks like for him, and however I'm going to be able to support him. However, I'm very communicative. And I will let you know what I need as well. But I think when men don't know how to share, and I'm going to just speak of my experience, when men don't know how to share, and when men think that the sexual part is what we need, because that's what he wants to give, because he thinks that that's going to make everything all right. There are not enough men like you who's having this conversation with the men who are lacking in this area. So what do we do as women when we're single and we see too many men who don't know how to have this conversation or to sit long enough to hear another person pour into them, because they're so scared of being vulnerable?
That's beautiful. And so the thing is that, all right, so before I answer that question, because I'm gonna help you. So so when we think about women, right? Can you give three places where it's well known that a woman can be vulnerable? In fact, let's keep this at black women and black men, right?
Okay.
Three spaces where black women can be vulnerable and is a non-judgmental environment. Three spaces.
Truth be told, there are not that many spaces. And I know that because I create those spaces for women.
Right. So you notice there's not three spaces, right? Okay. Now
let's shift
over to, now when we go to a black man, right?
Give me. He have even less.
Right. And so the thing is, what I really want to highlight right now is that you did not say a black man for a black woman is a safe space. You did not say a black man is a safe space for a black woman, right? Or a black woman is a safe space for a black man. So now, because those individuals don't make you don't make my list, and I don't make your list, right?
Mm-hmm. So
what we have to now become intentional about making your list as a safe space.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So I gotta register myself as a safe space for you, right? And so what women have to do is that women have to begin to register with men as a safe space. And so you're like, well, how do I do that, right? Okay, I'll give you an example. So you're like, hey, is there anything you want to share? And he's like, oh, no, I don't have anything I want to share. Okay, well, I just want to let you know that was the moment right there where you could be vulnerable, because I know that you don't have another safe. I don't know when next time you have a safe space again. I just provide that safe space for you to share whatever you wanted to share. And that was your moment. I want to make sure that you knew that you had that moment, right? And mm-hmm. then let's say here, right? So the next time, let me just say this here, right? And this is you talking to him. So when there come a moment that you want to share something, you come call me and we can talk about it.
Correct.
Because I'm that chick, right? Because I'm good, right? Because I know
all
that
day long,
right? Because I know that your perspective and your history, what happened to you, is not happening in my life. Mm-hmm. It's not going to touch my life, right? Because mm-hmm. I know it's not going to happen. So I can be a mm-hmm. safe space where you can talk and you can say whatever you want to say. You can feel however you want to feel, and how you feel is right, because I wasn't there when you first started feeling. So I don't know how you've been programmed to feel. And so mm-hmm. I'm not going to judge you on the way that you feel. So that's where we start with providing that safe space, right? And then remember, in an intimate relationship, what's a non-negotiable? Reciprocity, right?
Oh, yes, yes, yes.
Reciprocity. And so because in an intimate relationship, reciprocity is mandatory, you now have to make sure that that person is committed to providing you a safe space.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So I gave you a safe space, and what you just said was it's golden, and it's over in that corner, but I don't know where it is. I just let you process it, and that's it. It's over there. I ain't even bringing that up. I don't even care about that, because that ain't mine, right? That's your stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And then so now when I decide to share with you my feelings, right, or how I experience it, how I see stuff, right? You don't judge me, right?
Correct.
You don't try and tell me that I need to see it a different way, or I'm wrong, or that's petty, or what. You don't judge me, right? And that's where the commitment comes in, right? Are mm-hmm. you committed to providing, one, reciprocity, and then, two, providing a safe space where we can make an even exchange, right? And that's correct. Where we have to start, because remember, that's at the bottom level, right?
Mm-hmm.
Bottom level. And then I often tell my clients that what happened happened, right? You know, and like you made a comment earlier, like, you know, well, if you're not down for 6 months, if you just here for 6 months, then I ain't your girl, right?
Correct.
Well, how do I know that I'm not here for 6 months if we just been together 3 months? I just met you.
So what I meant was, some people date for different reasons. Some people date and know they have absolutely no intention of being married, no mm-hmm. intention of doing anything with longevity. So I am right. a woman of longevity. And because I know that, if you're walking into this because you like to date and you like to have someone around, you're a person that doesn't like to be alone, you're not a person mm-hmm. who's really actually looking to build or to be in my children's lives or to like right. bring our lives together, I am not your girl. That's exactly what I meant. So if you're not about longevity, then I'm not the person for you. But if you know, and I know, that we're walking into this because we're looking for people that we want to build something with, now maybe we don't make it past 6 months because we figure out something over time that maybe this is a deal breaker for me. I didn't notice about you when I met you. However, but we walked into it with the intention of being able to build something in the beginning. I don't want to build with a clown. I'm just going to be real.
Right. Absolutely. So, and this, I have a girlfriend now, right? And I found that she's lucky, right? And I'm lucky too, right?
Mm-hmm.
But the thing is that prior to me finding her, I would have these conversations with women, right? And they're talking about it, you know, if you, I ain't the guy, if you have these attentions, I'm like, you know, I can change at any moment, right? On the positive.
Mm-hmm.
Depending on who you are, I can be nice. But if you're we're having a conversation, you ask me to be, can you tell me what, you know, about in the past, whatever, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you're expecting me to be honest with you, right?
Correct.
Right? And then when I'm honest with you, you start throwing these red flags. Right? Because it used to piss me off. Right? I'm like, how, you just asked me to tell you, you know, I'm like, hey, well, how is your relationship with your daughter? Right? With I'm like, well, my daughters don't call me, right? They ain't called me in like 2 years. And you're like, mm-hmm. Oh, man, that's a red flag right there. I'm like, are you serious? Right?
Yeah.
I call my daughters. I try to reach out to them, but they decided to create an allegiance with their mom. And they with their mom, and they are like holding right. The fort down with their mom. And I call them, and I try to reach out to them. I send them money. I send them cars, and they like, bruh, no, you made mom cry. We ain't trying to talk to you. Matter of fact, you, whatever, right? But now here I am. I'm having a conversation with you, and you punish me because my daughters don't want to pick up the phone with me when I have a 99% pickup rate for picking them up from school. I have a 94% rate of attending their recitals. Their baseball, their softball, their cheerleading, da 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 da, you name it, right? I have 100% health care providing, right? I have 100% utilities, right? I have 100% heat, mortgage, all that other stuff. I have 100%, right?
Mm-hmm.
I have 100% food, right? I have 100%, right? But here you are now punishing me. Because you think that because my daughters, I don't have a current relationship with my daughter, that's a red flag.
And I understand where you're going with it. However, for me, you chose like the wrong thing to say, because I have been in that position and rocked it out like for a long, long time. Like watched the ups and downs of all that. So. But I know where you're going with your example. However, I am also a person because I am so communicative, and because mm-hmm. I am so graceful, and because I am so understanding when it comes to other people, because I know the journey I had to walk for me to get where I am. Mm-hmm. I am the person who listens beyond what you're just saying to me. I am the person that gives you opportunity. I am not the person that walks in looking for a flag. I'm not. I'm just not. Like, I'm going to take you at your word when we're walking in the door on it. But up front, when you let me know that, look, I don't want anything serious. I don't want anything, you know, beyond someone just today and have a good time with. There's nothing wrong with a person who wants that, but I don't. So right. I don't want somebody to have fun with. I want somebody to build with. So that's where I was going with that, because we're all going to have red flags. All of us got some ish with us. So something about me is going to come out eventually, and you may not like it. I don't always hold my face straight when I'm looking at somebody, and you might can't stand it. Well, is that going to be a deal breaker for you? Because I'm sure they don't have a school for showing me how to fix my face. And it might not start until I turn 53, like, just to let you know.
Right,
like, and because I'm so solid in what I believe about myself and what I'm not going to stand for myself, it doesn't matter what you have going on, because I've had something going on too. But the pressure that you're under, if you can't show me that you know how to deal with that pressure in a healthy manner where you and I can still be able to rock this thing out and go through the tough times together.
Right.
And you change. I'm expecting you to change a little bit when pressure hits you, because that's just what it does. Mm-hmm. But if you 100% start pulling away, or you start changing how you do things with me, now I no longer feel safe, because what may you be doing, you know, with that extra time that you're not with me anymore. So things like that are more of a red flag for me, because I'm no longer the place that you come to when you need someone. You're turning to whatever you're turning to, because the dynamic between the two of us has shifted. And no matter how much I'm being there for you, or no matter that how much I'm bringing you into the fold as it pertains to me and you, you can't do it because you don't know how to deal with your feelings. And so this is the biggest issue that I've had to deal with. And That's why I started out saying, I don't know what kind of luggage is in your case. I don't know what you toting in that bag. And right. Because I don't right now, Maslow's hierarchy of needs, I am me for all five of these right now because right. of where I've had to be with people. But I am slowly but surely, because of my healing journey, getting to the place where I am able to drop my guard enough to even build relationships, even with other females now, and mm-hmm. being able to be more vulnerable and being able to create spaces where we come in and talk, or I'm able to sit with someone. So, you know, I'm not the person that looks at you and automatically starts saying, oh, shoot, I ain't got time to be dealing with this joker right here, because mm-hmm. that's not me. Like, I'm a little deeper than that. And
that's important, because the thing that we're only going to have right now, right?
Mm-hmm.
The moment that you and I will ever experience is right now. And how am I treating you right now?
Mm-hmm.
And how do I, am I bringing other stuff, other experiences that mm-hmm. may not ever happen again? Well, one, first of all, I tell people, the moment that you're holding on, that happened, is never going to happen again.
Mm-hmm.
Well, one of all, it's not going to happen with us, because we're two different people. And we're different from the person that you had that experience with. So if that's not going to happen with us ever again, well, I know it ain't going to happen, because I'm going to make sure it happens. Well, so because we know that you're not going to let it happen, why are you punishing our right now?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
About something that is not going to happen. Right?
I agree. So
that's where, again, like you said, we have to start being committed to providing that safe space for each other. That I'm going to work on my mental stability, so mm-hmm. that you are talking, I can be there with and be quiet and listening.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's not my turn, right?
Correct.
What you're sharing is not in my life. It's not in my bank account. It's not in my mama's house. In fact, I can't even touch what you're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
So why am I getting upset? And I know what I'm saying is difficult, because we have triggers.
Mm-hmm.
Right? We have things that trigger us, and we can't control what triggers us, because we don't know what's going to trigger us.
Correct.
And so, again, just by you and I being on the phone may have triggered something with you.
No, not really. This is just me all the time. I'm very strong with how I think and how I come across.
And that's the thing, right? And I don't want you to be strong.
Why not?
No, because I'm saying you need a break. You've been holding that damn strong valve on for so long. Let that valve go.
Now that's true.
You've been holding that thing since you've been 13. That's at least 30 years.
Mm-hmm.
9 years of being strong. Now turn that. Take your hand off that strong valve. I'm finished.
And put it where?
I don't know, but don't be strong right now.
You can't tell me to take it off, and don't tell me where I'm gonna put it.
Because who cares what a strong vibe is right now? We just care about you having a good time.
And I am. I'm having a fantastic time.
That's what I'm saying, right? I don't want you. This is a moment where you don't have to be strong. This is your moment where you can be vulnerable. You can share. You can just like, man.
And I did, because I don't know who all these people are that's on this line. And for me to even share my family business of what took place, like literally, I am very vulnerable. Like I can share many things now. So I'm just a strong individual. So like, don't even take it that, you know, I am trying to be strong.
No. But what I'm saying to you is that right now, right now is mm-hmm. when being strong does not matter. You get no points for being strong right now.
I don't lose any either.
No. I know that. But what I'm saying to you right now is that I want you to just take a sigh. Just like, I don't have to be strong right now.
But I'm not. I'm just answering you. Like,
and that's the beautiful part right now, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's the most beautiful part about Coach T that people have not seen in a long time. I'm talking about beautiful on the inside. I'm talking about amazing. I'm talking about just heart-wrenching, humble, heart-wrenching, supportive. And it's a beautiful thing that people on this call right now get to see that you can let it go. And it's important for us as Black men and Black women, right, to now understand that I don't know when next time you're gonna get a safe space. I don't know next time somebody gonna be vulnerable that you're gonna be able to share that you feel X, Y, and Z, and there will be no punishment.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, what's his name? J. Cole, is it J. Cole sending air audio hugs to you right now? Right?
Mm-hmm.
Right? Sending you audio hugs, just like bam. Just like loving on you, saying that I'm sorry that you had to be strong 15 years straight. That you had no break. I'm sorry that happened.
I appreciate that.
I'm talking about 15 straight. Nobody, you couldn't turn it off.
Mm-hmm.
And to be able to say that I love you, to be able to say that I'm proud of you, to be able to say that you are an amazing mother, you are an amazing woman. Oh my gosh, I'm so proud of you. And I'm happy that you are on this call because this is your first time talking, right? And to be able to share and know that at any moment that when you need a safe space that you can like, hey, call me. I want to register as a safe space. Well, I ain't gonna tell you all my business. Well, you just told me enough. But the thing is that it's okay.
Mm-hmm.
It's okay. And sharing your business with these 11 people who are online, which thank you so much. Because here's the thing, right, Coach T, is that this is the most I've had live in my life.
Because Coach T do it.
Bam, right? And they are learning, right? They know that they recognize that we as black men, Black women, we don't have a safe space, right? So now I gotta be intentional about providing this safe space for this person, right? Mm-hmm. And because I'm providing this safe space for you to say what you want to say, reciprocity is mandatory, right? And so you are required to provide a safe space for me. So what I'm saying right now is right. I don't need you to tell me what I'm doing and what's wrong. I don't need that.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And when I'm able to do that, right, we're able to build on friendship. We're able to be able to have a great moment. We're able to go out and have fun. We're able to be there to support each other, right? Because the thing is, I need you to be in your best space for your next moment.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And if you coming to talk to me about how you feeling, and if we can dialogue, and if I can share, if I can help you, if I can't help you, I can't help you.
Mm-hmm.
But I want you to be able to know that how you feel is right. How you feel is right.
Mm-hmm.
So I ask you, and this is the thing that I like I said, I share, you know, I provide this for all my people I'm in encounter with, right? I'm asking, hey, is there anything else you'd like to share?
Honestly, I appreciate you for having this space for people. Because you're right, we don't have those safe spaces. So thank you for what you're doing. Thank you to everybody that stayed on and listened. And those who are on here that I do know that supported this call tonight, because I do have some people in my life that I do, that I am able to share and be safe in those spaces with them, which I didn't have just like 5 years ago, to the capacity that I do now. And most of them are Black women, for you to even say, Teresa, if you need a Black man to be a safe space for you, it means a lot, because that is something that is lacking, and that is something that I wish I had. So for you to say that means a lot. So I appreciate that. And just being able to hear my story, hear what I have to say, you know, whether you felt I was defensive, whether you felt, you know, I was saying too much, not enough, you didn't make me feel as if what I had to say was not relevant, or that I was not taken serious for what I had to say, or that I thought I knew too much. So, because I've experienced that before. So just being able to be an active listener and understand my side of the track, even if it's different than yours, is commendable. So I appreciate that. And for anybody that's out there that is still struggling to have a safe space, they're there. It just takes a long time sometimes for us to get there, because we don't have enough of this going on. So open yourself up a little bit more, because for sure God sends people who is going to be there, and they're going to rock it out with you for the rest of your time. And that reciprocity is going to be there, because there are people on here tonight that the reciprocity is there. That's why they're here. But we don't have enough Black men doing it. So pour into the Black men, pour into you Black men, continue to pour into us Black women, because we need it. And same goes for you. You got my phone number now.
I got it.
I am Coach T. I'm just saying.
And I love it. But here is the thing, right? Let me I'm gonna share this with you. I have been on this quest, right? When I see Black men, just when if a Black man comes in my presence, right? And I tell him I'm proud of him. I'm proud that you made it to this moment, right? And I give him a hug. I say, man, can I give you a hug, man? I'm just so happy for you. And then I whisper in there, I'm like, man, I'm so proud of you, man. You're a dynamic dude, and you're doing a great job. I'm so proud of you, right? And I'm like, I don't know when next time you're going to get there, so I just reset your clock, right? Oftentimes, brothers be walking around like, man, I needed that, man. I appreciate that. Oh, my God. And it's funny. I laugh when I see them walking away, because somebody come hug you and somebody come love on you authentically is rare, right?
It is.
And I'm like, you ain't even expect that to happen to you. You ain't expect that to happen. And they don't know what to do, because most people don't care about Black men. And so because of that, we go by winging it. And then because we've been winging it since we were in third grade, right? And nobody some people, but oftentimes we don't get people that really shows interest, right, in how you truly feel. And so
it's
we wing it. And then when we're trying to find love, right? We're fed that we can't trust Black women.
Yep.
We're programmed not to trust each other. So by the time you get to a Black man and I get to a Black woman, we both have enough information for us not to take our guard down.
It's true.
And here you are struggling, and I'm struggling too, for a sense of loving and belonging. And who do you think is more equipped to understand each other's story?
Us.
Yep. So we're coming up on an hour, Coach T, man. I love it. I'm excited. I am so thankful that you came on the show today, right? And whoever's on the show, tell us how we can get in contact with Coach T, because Coach T doing some great stuff.
So, I would Facebook. My name is Harvest Miller, and a lot of my posts are attached to my business page, which is Harvest Identity Powerhouse. Identity is spelled with a Y, so the initials for it, or the acronym for it, is HYPE. All my information is there. Same for my website is harvestidentitypowerhouse.com. So you can find me there. Phone number 980-699-5820. And that's where I am. Same thing on Instagram, Harvest Identity Powerhouse. So hit me up. It's time for starting new relationships and new divine connections. So I'm with it.
I'm with it too. And thank you so much again. While you're here, make sure you like, make sure you subscribe, make sure you share. Because again, this is where safe spaces happen, right? This is where vulnerability is nurtured. This is where you get to understand that intimacy is a commitment. It's a level of commitment. Mm-hmm. And that person, again, it doesn't really have to be it's a relationship, right? And mm-hmm. if that person isn't committed to providing you a safe space and helping you to feel a sense of loving and belonging, they should not be advancing to sex. Watch this again. If that person is not committed to providing you a safe space, allowing you to share and be vulnerable, to help you to feel a sense of loving and belonging with that person in a reciprocal fashion, right?
Mm-hmm.
They should not be advancing to sex, because what happens, we have inconsistent sexual fulfillment, right? And most times the woman comes up short.
Every time,
right? Because we know that in most cases, when an erection comes, it comes.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, again, let's continue the conversation. If you decide that you want to be a guest on the show, shoot me a DM on Instagram, Intimate Discoveries. You can also reach me at 843-730-2618. If you're interested in working with me as an intimacy consultant, helping you to experience the fulfillment in relationship, you can do that, right? Because mm-hmm. I want you to experience true fulfillment in your relationship, right? And this is, again, this is not just in romantic relationship. This is with your children. This is with your cousin. This is with your mama, with your friends, with your father, with your daughter, your son. Be able to provide mm-hmm. them that safe space where they can talk, mm-hmm. right? Because we all know that I didn't listen to my mom. Had I listened to my mom, I wouldn't be on the podcast right now. So we're not listening to our parents, right? We're not taking our parents' advice unless we ask our parents, right? So if we know that we're not listening to our parents, why do you think your kids are going to listen to you? So therefore, just provide a safe space for them. Make sure they're in their best space.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Right? So that when you know that when they're in their best space, that they're making better decisions for their life. Right? And then mm-hmm. after that, let's get at it, right? So this is Champ Frank, and we're gonna get ready to go out. We're wrapping up the show, right? Here we go. Come on. Talk to me. Here we go. The champ is here, baby. We have made an amazing impact today, and we are excited that we had Coach T coming in live, sharing her story, being vulnerable, showing us how at any moment you can be provided. the time. It is now time for the black woman to be given a safe space consistently, right? It's time for black men to be given a safe space consistently, right? We need each other. We need to love you. Let's go. Here we go. They said I wouldn't make it, but I'm here now. I'm here, baby. And I'm here to stay, never go down. Hey, man. Because I'm a champion. Ow. Nobody thought I would have a podcast. Hey, team, we love you. Thank you so much. Thank you, everybody, for coming out. And we'll see you all on Wednesday. We have Mondays and Wednesdays at 8 p.m. if you want to tune in again live. Thank you all so much. We love you all. And remember, intimacy is a level of commitment. Talk to you later. They said I wouldn't make it, but I'm here now. We're gone. Love y'all. Thanks again for coming.
Good night.
Good night.